Hey guys, welcome back. This is our last show for the year, and as somebody else pointed out, for the decade as well. Really nice to be with you again, and hope the day's going really well for you. And wish you a great New Year's. It's coming up in a few days if you're seeing this live. And I think we can afford to wish that for everybody. You know, that's an interesting question that I sometimes get into with people is, what do you wish for the people that are once you learn about the agendas that are going on in the world, and that there's actually this thing called evil, you know, and which I would define as trying to cause pain and suffering and death and destruction for its own sake, not just only to make money, but just because that's what you're into. And what would you wish for those people? And I know that a lot of some of the newscasters, the main one that I used to mention all the time that I can't mention now at all because he's totally banned from everywhere, is always, and I think he's doing fantastic work for the world, even though people hate me for that, some of them, and say, no, he's controlled opposition and he's all this junk. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what they say. And he's always, even though I really admire what he's doing, he's saying he wishes that all the bad guys and bad women that have shown that women can be just as bad as men, you know, in the last several years especially, he wishes them all destroyed and sent to hell forever and the usual stuff, right? And I'm saying, no, that's really not the most perceptive thing and or the most constructive for all of us. Whatever you wish for other people, you get a backlash from that on yourself for really deep reasons that we don't have to, I have a lot of other stuff to talk about, but we're so deeply connected that whatever we wish for other people, it immediately starts affecting us in the same way, multiplied. So, and the other reason not to wish bad things on the evil people, even the top rulers that are, you know, once you learn what's going on, you learn that it's active Satanism and they're doing things that are too horrible for to be mentioned on any family show. And what would you wish for them? And the thing is that if you think they are the individuals that they look like, then of course you just wish them to be destroyed, right, or vaporized or something. But that's not really what's happening on a deeper level. And you already thought I was pretty weird, so you probably think I'm totally crazy after saying this, but I have to say it anyway because it's what I've seen and learned. And that is that what you see is the actor. I mean, I'm sorry, what you see is the character. Like if you're watching a movie like Terminator, say, you know, you see, depending on which one, two, or three you're watching, you see the Terminator character and he's killing all these people or he's doing really good things and in all these battles and everything. But, and you forget because that he's doing such a good job of acting that really that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's not the term, there's really not a Terminator there. It really looks like it. And when you get into the real 3D world, it really looks like it. I mean, this is much more realistic than the movies. It looks fully dimensional. There's, you know, it's beyond the most advanced cyborg that you can imagine. It's like a whole, you know, universe of apparent reality. Underneath that are the real people who are playing the roles, including in us. And the greatest spiritual teachers that come to the world at various times or achieve it while they're in the world as a human. The main thing they teach is how to become conscious of yourself as the actor, not the character. And every really horrible being is actually an actor playing a horrible being. They don't even know it. They're so immersed in it. So if you reach into them and you wish the actor or the actress good things, that actually can help them. And if we just hate the bad people, we're staying in the same energy as what we're complaining about. I'm not saying to negate self-defense or doing what you have to do, strategic awareness and, you know, tactics that are necessary to save society and things like that. But underneath, it's not necessary to hate the people that you're working against and who are doing bad things because they actually can wake up just like we can, even though it doesn't look like it. That's possible. And I have the feeling that that's the test we're being given to see if we can figure that out because it's so counterintuitive and it really doesn't look like it could be true. And I'm, you know, I'll just be seen as crazy for saying it's true, but somebody has to say it's true if they see it, and I can see it, and doesn't mean we're guaranteed success to reach them at the actor and actress level, but it means that it's not useless to try doing that. So I don't know if anybody followed that at all, but I was just welcoming you back to the last show of Lost Arts Radio Live for 2019. Seems like it came up really fast. And when I was thinking about what to say in this show, I wanted to share a conversation that I had this week with a friend, a really great person. He's connected to education, and particularly a beautiful private school that has for kids K through 12. What is that, age 11 or something? No, age 11 would be at the beginning of junior high. 12 would be like 16 or so. Anyway, he's working with a school that is incredibly great. It's not an indoctrination center like the government, most of the government schools have become, and are doing a lot of damage and even doing physical bad things to the kids, as well as really confusing them and messing them up psychologically. This school is doing a beautiful job. And as I said, it's an extraordinary person, and the school is beautiful. I saw videos about it in operation. Beautiful atmosphere for the kids. Healthy outdoor playing. They're not just lost in screen time all day, you know, sitting around. Strong energy of love and support for all the kids. Practical experience in constructive projects, you know, so you're bridging classroom with real life, not just school to job, as they say, which prepares you in many cases just to join the zombie forces. It was actually, you know, how can you make things? Here's how manufacturing works. Here's how you grow food and sell it. Here's a lot of good stuff. Gardening, woodworking, manufacturing, food. I made a few notes here. That's why I'm looking down. I don't mean to look away, but my memory's not sharp enough to remember everything that I wanted to tell you. So they're getting experience in selling a product and care of animals, music, art, speaking, acting, science, experiments, teamwork in different projects, sports, nature studies, earth sciences of various kinds, real environmental studies, not the crazy kind that say give up all your rights and never use energy again. And if you can, don't breathe out either. It's not like that kind of environmental studies. It's the real ones, and they're real environmental issues that urgently need attention. And I noticed that in some of the science and math being taught, and I was watching the videos about the school, it was showing biotech as one of the sciences as if it were in its current incarnation legitimate. And I haven't seen one thing from biotech that's legitimate so far. Maybe they're making drugs, you know, that people are taking. But, you know, there are things that are so much better than drugs. Don't cut out the organs to begin with so you don't have to replace them with drugs, right? And I know that a lot of things are supposed to be incurable, but most of them are not, by natural means. And I realized, you know, wait a minute, there's something important here, a big issue. Even though the school is incredibly beautiful, all the sciences in the current world, everyone I can think of anyway, is being misused, intentionally being misused to harm people, harm animals, harm the whole biosphere, which is not some liberal crazy thing to care about the environment. That's your life support system. If you don't have it, you can't live in your body anymore. It's a very important, important safety tip, as Egon would have said in Ghostbusters, right? So I wish people would just drop the script of left and right and all that stuff and just say, I only want to know what's true. I don't even care if it agrees with what I think. I can correct myself if I'm wrong. Just show me what's true. That would be a giant leap forward for mankind and humanity in general and the biosphere as a whole. So anyways, I was saying all the sciences are being currently misused in really deadly ways, mostly not to instantly kill all life on Earth, but to systematically move toward that. And that's not a scientific oversight. It's not that they don't notice what they're doing. Well, some of the really not very aware people that are working for them may not notice, but the ones who are orchestrating it, they really notice. They're very focused and organized. It's not careless. It's intentionally for various murderous agendas and destructive ends. And so I asked my friend who was talking about the beautiful private school, which, you know, private schools are becoming more and more interesting to people as the public ones get worse and worse, and homeschooling as well. And so I asked him, when do you let the kids know about the evil in the world? Because you've made this environment for them as if everything in the outside world is beautiful, and all you have to do is just go out and enjoy everything, and it's going to be great. And that's not entirely accurate, as you guys may have noticed. There's a few things going on in the outside world that are not great. When do you teach the kids who are in this sheltered environment about what's really going on, especially if, and I realized as I said this, even that probably most of the teachers don't really have a comprehensive picture of what's happening in the world and why it's really in danger. They just, either they don't know any of the real issues, or they get really wrapped up in one of them. You know, one legitimate issues like GMOs or geoengineering or nuclear power or chemical agriculture or drug medicine or all these very legitimate things, but they don't see much beyond their one issue. But a lot of people don't see the issues at all. They just memorize what they're brainwashed to repeat, like the fake environmental stuff, even though environmental issues are very serious and real. The way they're being used is totally fake. It's a complete fraud. And the people who get wrapped up in that just go with the emotion of it, and they don't really have the depth of perception. And doesn't mean they can't get it, but in the moment, they're being used as pawns to push Agenda 21 related things that they don't even know what that is. And they can be used for negative consequences. And I wondered, because the kids graduating from this beautiful school, what's going to keep them from falling for the same thing? What's going to keep them from taking a job genetically engineering the last natural form on Earth? You know, that's the direction it's going. And Jeffrey Smith, whose books are really worth reading, by the way, if you haven't already done that, on GMOs, Jeffrey Smith, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, I think he spells Jeffrey. And a lot of videos on YouTube too. And he's got this organization called Institute for Responsible Technology, and you can get on their free mailing list. It's a good group. But he was on a video, I think yesterday or today, saying, well, they're just genetically engineering this new golden rice. Well, it sounds fantastic. Anything golden, right? Must be good. And they're going to use it for, I forget if it was in the Philippines or somewhere else, and get everybody to just unsuspectingly start eating this garbage. I mean, regular garbage would be better than eating this GMO rice, because it might make you sick to eat the garbage, but it wouldn't take over your genome and your gut, things like that. And he was realizing that's the direction it's going. Even I've met and talked to Jeffrey quite a bit, and, you know, there needs to be a bigger overview. It's fine to focus on one issue, but the more you have a contextual awareness of all the others that are moving in parallel, and you don't have to have 12 PhDs and be a specialist in everything to understand it. Anything that can really be understood can be understood by common sense if you're really perceptive. And so he said, wow, they're genetically engineering everything, and it's getting really bad. And yes, that's right, Jeffrey, I totally agree with you. And they don't plan to stop. They're going to destroy the whole natural environment. And the people who are working for them, which is the point I was trying to make, they may have good intentions. They may think, yeah, we learned that GMOs are going to feed the world and avoid starvation and accomplish the Agenda 21 goal of nobody without food. And it's just going to be fantastic. It's like Nirvana or paradise or something on Earth because of GMOs. And they believe that because they weren't taught correctly as little kids what's really going on. And so I said, when are you going to teach them that if they don't learn this bad stuff is happening and turn loose their creativity to solve it, which is quite capable of doing that? They're going to take these jobs helping to destroy the rest of us and themselves. They're going to work for drug companies thinking that they're curing disease and saving mankind from plague, or veterinary, you know, medicine. So I shouldn't call them medicines. They're poisonous chemicals that are killing animals, and they don't mention that to you when they tell you you've got to have the rabies and all this other stuff as a preventive. Yeah, but what does it really do when you take it, you know, to yourself, to your animal, to your family, whatever? And they could fall right into that because they're educated to think that everything's beautiful in the world. And there's unbelievable beauty in the world, of course, in nature. When I was working with Alan Chadwick, he said, yeah, I know it's, he was a direct student of Rudolf Steiner, and I had the good fortune of running into him when I was a university student in the 1960s. And he said, yeah, I know it's a dark age. It's really a dark age. This is not an advanced age. This is the opposite. It's what the Hindus would call Kali Yuga, or worse. And he said, I know it's a dark age, but I still find enchantment, meaning incredible beauty that is mysterious because we don't see the depth of it in nature. And that's true, there is beauty, but you have to know the whole thing or you're going to walk into one of the innumerable traps that are laid for you if you're not wide awake. So my friend said, well, if you teach the kids about all this negative stuff that's happening in the world, studies have shown that it negatively affects their brain development and they don't relax and enjoy the learning system anymore. Excuse me. And it just does a lot of harm. They can learn about that later. And I could understand that. And it seemed to make sense. And in fact, I think there's some of that same negative effect of really distressing things on adults, which in many cases we're just kids in big bodies, right? We look like adults, but whether we are, in many cases, it's highly questionable, depending on, of course, how you define adult. But it leaves two big questions, and one of them we kind of got into. What's going to happen when they go out into the world blind, not really knowing what's going on, just thinking, well, there's all these great sciences and professions, and I'm just going to get in there and succeed and make huge amounts of money, which I have nothing against at all. Money's really useful, in case you haven't noticed that. But how you get that money, if you're doing it by destroying the world, it's not really not as good. And the kids could just end up working for some toxic corporation. And again, there's nothing wrong with corporations that I know of. You can make a corporation to do something good. But if they're being used for destruction, that's a different thing. And the kids could end up promoting chemical agriculture or GMOs. Many millions of them have. Look at the chemical agriculture industry, and they've been taught to be really defensive against the environmental wackos, right? Saying that no chemicals are the most advanced way to grow crops, and otherwise everybody would starve to death. And they actually believe this stuff from the industry that teaches them. And they promote GMOs and nuclear power and injections that the kids are getting from the first day of their life now that are causing massive damage, and pesticides, which a lot of supposedly conservative people think is a complete non-issue. It's not a non-issue. It's all over the planet right now, promoting chemotherapy and thinking that's really advanced. Wi-Fi and 5G. I've talked to a lot of people in the telecommunications industry, and most of them don't know, or the few that do know, they say, "I'm committed. You know, I can walk away, and then my family doesn't have any money." And the money is being used to keep them doing things that they don't believe in. So if no one's aware of the bigger picture, then who's going to reverse all these trends right now that are going toward complete destruction? And I admire the people who are saying, oh, we just have to destroy the bad guys. I just don't think that's correct. Because the challenge now is to get above the frequency and the energy of war and conflict and destruction and hating the bad guys, because usually in a war, both sides are totally convinced the other side is the bad guys and they hate them and they're subhuman and they have to be killed. It's been going on for many thousands of years with that mentality. It works really well. But now, I'm not saying we want to say, well, everything's beautiful and just lie down and be slaughtered. That would not be really intelligent. I'm saying that there is constructive power that is so great in realms of consciousness that we haven't checked out yet, that time is going by and we need to be doing that. And if we do, the whole thing is going to change. It's going to be a better situation. So I guess what came to me the day after that conversation with the friend who said it's going to really mess up the kids' brain development to let them know what's going on in the world on the evil side, what struck me is that the desire not to scare the kids is valid, but the application of that protective desire instinct on our part is based on a misunderstanding. And protecting the kids from fear is important. In fact, protecting yourself from fear is really important. It's not a health food to be ingesting fear all the time. But it's also dangerous to them not to give them the background understanding that they need to not fall prey to deception in everyday physical world when they become adults or even before they become adults. They could start working as kids and not really know what they're working for. So how can these two things go together? It looks like an impasse. You got to make the kids aware of what's going on in the world, but you don't want to mess up their brain development. And you can see the validity of my friend's point, because a lot of parents have terrified their kids of strangers, which is understandable because there's some not very nice strangers. But the kids are walking around scared all the time, which is just what my friend was talking about. There's got to be a different solution. Most adults, including the teachers, aren't even aware of how evil operates. So they become unconscious victims of the same thing. And they're just like those kids who are not told in school what's going on. They start doing unbelievable stuff. If you would step back and look at it from a normal point of view, they eat toxic chemicals to get healthy. Oh, I think you know them as medicine, right? But if you take the fancy words off and the bluebirds in the commercials, you know, singing when you're taking this medicine, and really fast in the small print it says, and may shrink your brain and cause a heart attack and give you a stroke and prevent you from breathing and give you neuropathy and your legs will have to be cut off and you get diabetes and cancer, but ask your doctor if it's right for you. It's really good. And these people are obviously so happy that they took it in the TV commercial that they're skipping between the bluebirds and everything, and the bluebirds sometimes landing on them. It's kind of the nice scenes from Cinderella or something. They can fall for stuff like that. The adults are falling for it now. Millions of people are falling for that. Body care products full of poisons, poisonous ingredients, harmful technology like wireless, which how many of you know what's going on with wireless? You know, your body is this delicate system of trillions of cells that communicate by very, very subtle and delicate electrical currents. Well, wireless, just not by chance, I was going to say just by chance, but no, I don't even want to make that joke, was chosen to be the weaponized frequency that was refined before World War II as a frequency weapon. That's what the basis of current Wi-Fi, and it's going to be more intense in 5G. It's the same thing used in smart meters and smart devices and intended to complete the smart grid when the Internet of Things gets, you know, rolled out with enough 5G in place. People fall for that kind of stuff, and deodorants with aluminum in them and lipsticks with lead in them and household cleaners with all kinds of bad stuff, poisons added to the public water supply. That's like an unbelievable situation. You know, with fluoride, for example, it doesn't do anything good. It never has. And you can use the CDC's own website to document that, which I've done many times. The only thing it does that we know of, and it probably does a lot more, but it causes, there's Harvard studies that show it causes cancer and bone cancer and other types. And lowering of IQ is a really well-confirmed effect of it. It's well-known. The people who make it are the people who orchestrate the making of it, know all about that. So why would they be doing that, right? Most people haven't even thought it that far. They're doing it because they want everybody dumb and compliant and controlled so they can be exterminated. And I'm sorry to be, you know, what people would think of if they don't understand as extreme or, you know, I'm certainly not fear-mongering, and we'll explain that. But most of the teachers who could teach the kids what's going on in the world could do that except for one little detail, and that's that they don't know. Some of them know about some of it. Most of them at this point that I've met have memorized some of the nonsense stuff that is, you know, about the panic of the climate change and stuff like that. That there are real problems that that masks, but that's not where they're at. You know, that's about becoming a slave, and which is not really a good thing to do. And the economic aspects of what is being proposed is pretty much suicidal for countries on the way to global government. It's not something that's good. There are unfortunately few teachers in the school system that I've run into anyway that have a big picture overview of what's happening. So they can't teach the kids, and they know that they don't know, and so it makes a subconscious fear that they carry around all the time because they know there's big holes in their understanding. Now, there are some adults and teachers that are aware and at least partially aware of the intentional organized evil. They know some of what's going on, but usually not why, because that's really interesting subject in itself. Or maybe they think it's just about money, which is really not true. It's about money at the lower levels where the corporate minions of the people in charge are out just thinking, well, who cares if it's going to destroy everybody? Everybody else is doing it, so I'll do it and get rich too. But those aren't the people in control. Those are just the ones mindlessly following things, not very intelligent, really. Mostly carrying fear that comes out as anger and frustration and jealousy and things like that. Realizing I've used up half our time and I've got through a tenth of the stuff I want to share with you, so I'll talk faster or skip over some stuff. Anyway, the teachers naturally feel, because they're afraid, almost all adults are really afraid. You peel back the facade a little bit and there's almost always fear under it. That's a problem, because fear, contrary to public opinion, does not help you do anything. It clouds your perception and it makes you weak and confused. It's not worth having, but people think that it's not optional. So anyway, because most of the teachers, including the few that know what's going on in the world, are carrying fear, they think, well, if they tell the kids about the bad things in the world, they're going to be scared too, and they will, but not because of the things that are being explained to them. They're going to be scared because the teachers have fear, and they're transmitting it to the kids. And the parents have fear, and they're transmitting it to their kids. And if you're a parent or a teacher, and you care about that, hopefully, your first instant question is, whoa, you're right. How can I stop it? Because what if you could teach the kids what's going on in the world so they'd be prepared and armed against it with the knowledge of how to have judgment and what to do, but they weren't afraid? That would be good, right? Because they'd have clarity. They could hopefully come up with solutions to the things they're learning about. But nobody can teach kids to do that without fear if they're terrified themselves. So the kids pick up the fear of the parents and the teachers when they talk about things that are going on in the world, but not because of the subjects. And the thing is that we're really, we're programmed a lot deeper than we realize. Just imagine what could happen if the teachers and parents felt calm and strong and wide awake and sharp and confident and not fearful, but aware of the problems that need to be solved. They could pass that same confidence on to the kids, and the kids would develop their full genius that they all have. So, but we're taught, you know, if this is about the thing of fear and how to get rid of it, we're taught that if a certain thing happens, you know, if event A happens, then you have to feel this particular feeling. You know, if a crazy monster comes up on the TV, then everybody has to be terrified and start screaming and run away. You might have to run away rather than getting eaten if you don't want to get eaten, but you don't have to be terrified. You know, it's all that assumption that we have to feel a certain way if a certain thing happens is subconscious programming, and it's become automatic. And the reason that that's not necessary is that attention is not just one faculty. It's got at least dual parts to it. One is strategic analysis, where you can look at something happening. Say you want to understand something happening in a political party or in a disease situation or growing a crop or how to take care of an animal. And part of the things in what you learn are unpleasant. That doesn't affect strategic analysis. If you're clear and not terrified, then you just see, you know, oh, here's all these things causing effects, and here's the end result of it, and here's what needs to be fixed. But there's another aspect of attention, a part of consciousness that picks up emotion all the time, and it's a default setting. We talk about this a lot in Planetary Healing Club, but I wanted to at least mention a little bit of it, give you a hint about it here in the public. I think I can do that. And the other aspect of the attention is picking up emotion. So let's say you're studying what happened in a certain war or crimes against kids or something horrible, right? And you're looking at it, you're trying to understand it, how to fix it. But all the time you're looking at it, you're picking up this horrible feeling, and you walk away totally polluted. It's not physical, but it affects your physical body. So how do you do that? You know, how do you fix that issue? One thing is, don't ever think about that bad issue, which is what they're doing at this beautiful school. And it's understandable. But then you're totally unprepared and you get blindsided and you can't help the way that you could otherwise if you knew what was happening. The other way, though, is to separate these two faculties of mind and put the emotional feeding capacity that we have, that whenever we look at something, we start absorbing its energy. Separate that out. Hook that onto whatever is beautiful and uplifting for you. Don't move it unless it's to something better. And then the strategic analysis part of your consciousness can be used by itself and not hurt you. If you understand that and do it and learn, which again, we're getting into the details of that and practicing it in the meetings of Planetary Healing Club. If you ever want to, you can join us. PlanetaryHealingClub.com has a way to get into it. But once you learn to do that, then you can teach it. You can share it because it's normal after that. And if the teachers were taught how to do that, they could teach the kids any good or horrible thing that was happening in the world in as much detail as necessary, and the kids would not pick up fear because the teacher doesn't have any. I think this is the detail that was missing in that discussion we had. So this was just too important not to share with you, even though we mostly go into this deeper stuff in Planetary Healing Club. But what if the teachers were trained to separate the two parts of their attention? Then you could also train them further and get into some really interesting stuff after that. Usually our mind, which we confuse with brain, mind is not brain. This, you know, we don't have 6 hours to go into this right now, but mind is running a stream of projected thoughts like a ticker tape that never stops with the stock prices, right? And we are so used to that as background noise, bringing up images, and every one of those thoughts has an emotional counterpart with it. And we pick that up and identify with that as ourself and our worldview, none of it's real. You want to know about Matrix? This is the real Matrix, and we're in it. But we have the capacity to be here and not controlled by that. That's really important, and it's connected to what we're talking about. All those thoughts and programs are projections of mind. That's how the real Matrix is happening here. And some of those emotions can be really disturbing. They can be very deceptive. They can convince you to do things that you regret later on. They come from a deep level, and they're projected by mind, their programs. I got to go quickly through this now. Time's running by. Some of the old Indian yogis misunderstood. They saw mind projecting those thoughts, and they said, wow, these are terrible thoughts. They're not even mind. They're coming from they're coming from mind. We have to kill mind. And they tried to do that, which does not work. And after a long time of trying it, they realized it didn't work. Many lifetimes were spent on that, but mind doesn't need to be an enemy. There are ways to make it an ally, and it's something you can learn. So let's just imagine, I'm trying to give you the short high points of this, that the teachers learned to do that, to make mind an ally and get free of the programs. And they learn natural ways to get their health back, because the physical health is really important, because your brain is part of your physical body. I know the specialty focus kind of denies that. Now you've got to go to a brain doctor or a heart doctor or an arm doctor or whatever kind of doctor, but the body's integrated. Any health problem is always systemic in some way. It's not just confined to a specialty. So if the teachers in this school we're talking about were to get back the original knowledge in a very advanced form to get their health back, so that you don't have to worry about the usual kind of aging and degenerative disease, and they certainly notice that they're not getting infectious diseases anymore, and they think, whoa, weren't we taught that all these evil germs were just going to kill everybody in the world unless we take poison and inject it into everybody that to protect you from disease? And even though that kills you when you do it, it's really cutting-edge science, and maybe we weren't taught the whole truth, right? If the teachers went through that, they could share it with the kids. Well, first with the parents, because if you try to teach the kids how to be healthy and the parents are so brainwashed that they think it's not acceptable, it's not a good thing, they're not going to let you do it anyway. So you have to educate parents. But if you could get all these things through to the parents, at first the teachers, and then the teachers share it with the parents, then the kids would be subject to learning the same thing. And now, you know, you've got teachers who understand a more complete picture of how good and evil and spirit, which is really beyond good or evil, are working in the world, and what kind of solutions are really needed. And with the kids, using those transformed teachers, you have a whole new option that didn't exist before, a new phenomenon, looking at serious options for solutions that would have been considered scary before. Now the kids understand, because they learned from teachers who understand and absorb this, that the emotional state is optional. You do not have to have a certain emotional reaction to a certain thing happening. That's the beginning of opening that door and freeing you from this just reading the lines in a script and living as if that were you. And you stop using language the same way, and you don't say, well, that situation is really scary, right? Or that is depressing or overwhelming or terrifying or anything. That's an incorrect use of language, strictly speaking, because those adjectives, in other words, words to describe things, apply to the what they're really describing is the reaction of the observer, not the thing. Because two people can look at the same event and one says, oh, that's terrifying. And the other says, oh, that's kind of interesting. You know, what else is going on? It's the perception, not the thing that's being perceived. Those words describe reactions. And it's a really important point. So I guess I can skip some of this stuff. You can't really describe an event, however bad, as terrifying, because what if a person sees it and is not terrified? Is there something wrong with that person? No, they just are on the way of growing up. And then they can deal with it with their full faculties and clarity. If they get terrified, they're going to destroy their own ability to do anything conscious or constructive. So, okay, we kind of covered this stuff. Did you guys ever see the movie called Monsters Incorporated? It's kind of an old cartoon movie of these cartoon-like monsters that go and scare kids, and they collect the fear energy and use that to run their monster society on some other place, another planet, I think it was. And that's just kind of a funny kids movie, but it's got some reality to it. There's real energy in terror and fear, and they're totally destructive. They're not good for anything. Some people think that fear is really useful, right? Like, if a tiger's chasing you and you're terrified, you can get away much faster. That's not true. You know, the fastest runners in the world, do you think they have to get terrified every time they go to a track meet and run a race? They don't. In fact, if they got terrified, they'd probably trip over their own feet and the tiger would eat them if it was a tiger chasing them. If they're clear and they learn how to use their body the right way, they can run really fast. And none of those guys and none of those women or kids, they're not scared. But they're very, very fast. And they know where they're putting their feet. They don't trip, as a rule. And they get the most out of their body. So fear is, I don't think there's any use to it. The only use for it is if you want to control and dominate a population, make them all terrified. It's been done by religious authorities and by governments for at least the last several thousand years. So there are ways to change that programming so we don't react with fear. We react with strength and confidence and centeredness and clarity, and we see what the solutions are. And the kids could do that. So, but if you look at kids in today's public schools, it's not like that. You'd say, oh, the kids are very sick. You know, chronic disease in the kids is rampant. I think the last figures I saw were that more than 50% of the kids now have a chronic disease. And yet they're taking all these medicines, they're getting injected by all these things that are going to prevent them from dying and getting diseases, and it's creating the opposite effect, and you're not supposed to notice that. Injecting poisons is not brilliant unless, as I said, your motives are something different. And then they're also fed toxic chemicals by the doctors that are called medicines, these little pills of different kinds, and by the parents over the counter. I don't think they should even be able to use the word medicine for that garbage, poisonous garbage, but they do, and they drink poisoned water with not just lead, but chlorine and fluoride and things dumped into it on purpose with a big skull and crossbones on the 55-gallon drum that it comes into, with nobody saying, well, there's something wrong with that picture. You know, and they're fed toxic food that's not organically grown and really over-processed and dead, and they live in virtual reality screens a lot of the day, and they sit in wireless radiation, which the schools are all pushing now. It's really criminal. And everybody says, oh, don't be an extremist. This is so convenient. Well, fiber optic is a lot faster than wireless, and it's a lot better connection. There's no need for the wireless at all. I mean, yeah, you can't walk across the room holding your radiating device against your body, which you probably wouldn't want to do if you were awake at all. But other than that, fiber optic connections are better, and the schools are just going completely the other way and not the way that's going to take care of the kids. So with all that going on, say, gee, I wonder why they're sick. And does that mean that they're in a normal state for kids? No. Kids are designed to be naturally healthy. And on top of all that, you know, having the discomfort of your body being in distress all the time, because the body's conscious, it knows it's being killed, and it doesn't really like that. On top of that, they're programmed with fear and division and the things that the government and big corporations are into now to try to make the population even more confused and easy to control. And the same from television and video games and movies and news and fake news and all that stuff. So the fear further ruins what's left of their own immune system. And it's really bad for physical health. And like I said, I can't think of any conceivable positive use for fear at all. It doesn't make you react better in emergencies. It's useless. It's totally useless and counterproductive and destructive. It makes people make the wrong decisions, makes people hate each other when there's often no reason for it at all. There's never any reason for that, actually. The perceptions become inaccurate. Only the controllers would want people so confused and weak and helpless and dependent and lost, but it's not normal. So it's not learning about a bad situation that hurts kids. It's fear that hurts kids. And they're being given that in massive doses now, at least in the public schools, not so much in these beautiful private schools. But there's no need to give them fear just to tell them what's going on in the real world. Fear tends to go away when they get back in touch with themselves and free from some of the programming. But the point is, keeping them out of touch with what's really going on in the world is not protecting them at all. And it's actually setting them up for some unpleasant things in their future, which is unnecessary. Setting them up to take jobs that unknowingly they join and they help to destroy life on the planet. It's a big mistake. And the thing is that the natural state of kids, which you see less and less now because they're all drugged and sick, or a lot of them are, is in a natural state, they're brilliant and strong and creative and should be less programmed than those of us adults who have been, you know, working on our blindness our whole life. I mean, to get more blind. So if the kids are given self-awareness and the information about the real situation in the world, then the result is that they'll be able to heal the world, because they'll say, oh yeah, in other words, they get offered a job designing new GMO cows or something. And if they don't know, if they've been protected, in quotes, they'll say, wow, I get to genetically engineer the best cows in the universe, and it's going to save everybody, and they're going to give milk to everybody, and it's just going to be wonderful. Nobody's going to starve. That's if they're protected and they're oblivious to what's going on. But if they get offered that job and they're aware and they're not fearful, they say, well, why would I ever want to do that? Nature already designed everything the way that, you know, it has the potential through natural breeding to bring out its best attributes. You don't need to go in there and mess up the natural DNA. The so-called scientists who are doing that think they're so brilliant. They're not so brilliant. They have a little tiny bit of specialized knowledge that they've turned into a skill. And there's like 99.999% of what's going on that they don't have a clue. And they're not improving on nature, to put it mildly. So a kid that's not protected in the wrong way and is allowed to know what's going on around them could turn that around and say, let's develop better and better ways of not just organic agriculture, but beyond organic with the rock dusts. And let's see what nature, you know, like the brainwashed scientist says, oh, rock dust is good. We can make much better rock dust by synthesizing it, finding the active ingredient in the rock dust, putting that on. And then they say, well, why did all these other animals die? You know, we didn't do anything to them. They don't understand that everything is connected. And the incredible beauty of the way nature was created is not just on the surface. It goes down layer after layer after layer. So the kids that have been allowed to learn what's going on will see through the deception and be able to come up with real solution and have a better chance to avoid all the traps. And then they can help heal the world, which I don't know if you've noticed, but it really needs it. The fate, yeah, the way the Gaia consciousness and the terror over climate change is being used, it's a total hoax. It's a scam. It's total lies. But the funny thing is that the reality of the situation shows you that the fate of the whole biosphere is hanging by a thread in many ways. And the kids need the consciousness to perceive the difference between the hoax terror that you're supposed to fall for and the real, very serious threat to the survival of life on our planet. And it is man-made. It's not by the population who's only allowed to use technologies that are destructive right now. It's man-made by the men and women who are orchestrating the intentional destruction of life. That's where all these problems are coming from. You know, so many of them, we don't even have time to go over them. So to try this whole idea of making the kids confident to go out in the world and not fall for taking a job doing something hideous and thinking it's great because of their pay and everything. You have to have conscious teachers, and they have to have not just memorized things to do. They have to actually have escaped from their own fear. Then in anything they say to the kids, they're going to be teaching them how to not have fear, because they don't have fear. It's not something you memorize. So you need to have that kind of teacher to have a solution to the dilemma that my friend brought up. Whatever you are is what you teach. No matter what you memorize, it doesn't change the fact. So even if you're teaching something wonderful and you're full of fear and conflict and hating the bad guys and everything, that's what people are going to get from you. So it becomes the top priority, work on ourselves and not just memorize stuff. The kids could end up understanding the mind and not just the intellect and the body and how to bring health back and not have all these stupid diseases and aging and having the last decades of your life be absolute hell. That's what's happening. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you look around, it's very bad. I'm not going to say it's scary, because that's optional. You don't have to be scared, overwhelmed, anything like that. Those are programs. There are ways to get out of them. But that clarity allows you to see what's happening. And what's being done to humans right now is intentional, and it's 100% destructive, aimed at extermination, which I don't think we should agree to. So the teachers have to not just memorize curriculum. They have to heal themselves, because they know who they are is what they teach, and no matter what subject comes up, they're going to be teaching who they are, and that's going to inspire the kids or not. So where do you break the cycle of fear, with the kids or the adults? It's like a chicken or egg thing, and the kids are much easier to get out of the programs, but if the parents are overly programmed, they're not going to allow the kids to wake up. They're going to see it as a threat. So you have to start with the adults. And who's going to teach the adults? The teachers. But they have to be conscious. They can't just go through a course and memorize all these things to do. That's not going to get it, you know. They're going to end up coming up with ideas like, well, we have to protect everybody from knowing about these terrible things because fear is going to hurt their brain development. Yeah, well, fear probably even hurts adult brain development. But because the brain's changing all the time. Doesn't stop when you get big. So they're not going to just be able to do a curriculum. They've got to learn how to overcome fear and programming in themselves and actually do it, experience it. Then they can break the cycle with the parents. Parents will support the kids to change. Kids can go to a school where they teach what's going on in the world and how to do all these forgotten things. But they teach first that you can do it with no fear and no programming. And then the kids will teach everyone else, and they can end up helping to heal the world. So that's the whole thing that I wanted to go over with the few contractions so that we didn't take too long. I hope you find that relevant. I think if you think about it, you'll see that you can analyze where fear is impacting you, even in subtle ways. And if you get rid of that, it changes your whole world. It's optional. I didn't know that. And I had panophobia. That was coming from a Peanuts commercial where Lucy, who was diagnosing Charlie Brown for 5 cents in her psychiatric booth, was trying to figure out what's wrong with him. And she finally figured out he had panophobia, which was fear of everything. And he said, yeah. And she goes flying over the back of her psychiatric booth. But I had panophobia for most of my life. And I met somebody who had no fear at all. And I found out, oh, you don't have to be afraid of anything, no matter what happens. I'm not saying to let yourself be run over. That's totally separate. But you don't have to have fear, and you don't have to hate anybody, even the people you think are bad. And that's a well-kept secret that we're not supposed to understand. The media wants everybody against everybody else. All that's a complete waste of time and worse. So anyway, if you want to stay in touch with us in case we get disappeared off these major platforms, which could happen at any time based on what's going on right now with social media, see our site, lostartsradio.com. Get on the mailing list so that we could stay in touch with you and send you stuff if we get cut off. You can just provide a name and an email address at text that to 928-235-4676 or email it, name and email address to info@lostartsradio.com. Subscribe to our new Brighteon channel, please. Brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. And Brighteon is brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. You can subscribe to that now, and it's developing quickly. That platform, Brighteon, needs to be supported by using it, posting videos and watching videos and everything. Remember, write down our two sites, lostartsradio.com and lostartsresearchinstitute.com, as well as our new Subscribestar page. If you have the resources to help us keep doing this, that would be really nice, because count up the commercials that you heard during this show. It's a very low number, like zero. So the only way that we're going to be able to keep going and do the innumerable larger projects that we have just on hold waiting is to help us with that financially. Subscribestar.com/lostartsradio or donate buttons on each of the two sites, lostartsradio.com and lostartsresearchinstitute.org, which have a lot of interesting information on them. And then remember that we have Sunday free educational shows that are announced on lostartsradio.com. We have Planetary Healing Club, which is a little bit more protected platform for people that want to start learning about how to apply some of this stuff in their own lives. It gets very deep. We can talk about things on that would get censored other ways, and there's access to that private group, and you're invited personally if you want to do some work in your own life and transform yourself. See it at Planetary Healing Club, planetaryhealingclub.com. Meeting is once a week, 30 minutes after this ends. We're a little bit over time right now. I apologize for that, and thanks for the time. I really appreciate your spending it with us, and I wish you a great rest of the week, and hope everything that you're doing is great success, including transforming yourself and helping us do some good things in the world. I'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribestar levels are one of a kind, and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.